summer, one enough to pay the loan. Goodbye to see the plant this spring. Farmer's bank foreclosed. Come on, old friend, ship me up to auction off the land. He said, John, it's just my job, and I hope you understand. They call it. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So, you know, yet another horribly tragic day. And one of the tweets that, a bunch of the tweets that I've seen go out today were along the lines of, you know what, these kids were, you know, thinking about summer. These kids were thinking about the end of another year, thinking about graduation, thinking about where their lives were going to take them. And because of, well, I would argue a whole bunch of reasons, a whole bunch of failed policies, and a whole bunch of failures, it's not going to happen. And it's just horribly angering to me. And one of the things that I don't think we talk enough about is the cost on our medical system, the cost on our structure, and really on humanity. And that's why I've asked Dr. Eugene Gu to come talk with us. He is a surgeon scientist. His focus is on curing heart and kidney diseases in babies. Also does some healthcare writing over at The Hill. Dr. Gu, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me on your show.
You know, I look at this, and I got to be honest, my conversation with you today was going to be completely different. But I see this tragedy, and it's heartbreaking on so many levels. But, you know, I'm sure this is stuff that you as physicians, you guys see all the time.
Yeah, unfortunately, especially when I was a resident physician in Tennessee, which has a very high rate of gun violence, I never forget having a patient come in with multiple gunshot wounds in his abdomen. We rushed him immediately to the operating room, try to save his life, and it was just beyond horrifying. You know, we opened up his belly under the operating lights, and a bunch of blood rushed into the floor, and after we packed all four quadrants of his abdomen to try to temporarily stop the bleeding, and we inspected each place, I saw that, you know, his liver was completely shattered, his right kidney was, you know, almost completely blown away. So we had to do a lot of repair, and you know, unfortunately, the patient eventually passed away. But it's just every gunshot victim that we get is coming to the hospital, and we try to help, you know, survive through this tragedy. It takes a toll on everyone, on the nurses, on the doctors, on the emergency physicians, on the healthcare system as a whole. And, you know, in any other industrialized country, you know, Columbine would have been the first and the last school shooting. But since then, we've had hundreds of school shootings. We've had Sandy Hook. We've had Parkland. We've had the Santa Fe high school shooting. And I mean, when can we finally ask ourselves as a nation to say, this is just too much, and we have to change the obviously crazy gun laws that allow this to happen almost on a, you know, weekly basis?
I mean, it's insane. And, you know, I've seen statistics that are all over, some as few as 16 this year in just 5 months. And I've seen some as many as 30 and 35 shootings that have happened. And you go, you know, you're right. When do we start saying enough is enough? And I've been screaming about this for years. And I mean, I go back into the 90s when, you know, when we were pushing for the assault weapons ban, and it was working. And now you've got this political system that is just so, seems so bought and paid for by the gun nuts that I fear no sanity comes of what's going to go forward.
Right. And, you know, I think the American public have made it pretty clear that we're pretty much all for, you know, increased gun regulation. But the NRA has such a stranglehold on the Republicans in Congress that there's just no chance of any type of change going on. And they think that they're invincible, that they can just do whatever they want in Congress, and they'll still stay in office and continue riding the gravy train. But I hope that this November in the midterm elections, we can finally have, you know, our voice heard, and, you know, get all these people out of there who aren't protecting the American people. It's just crazy.
No, it's absolutely crazy. And, you know, one of the reasons, you know, as I was thinking about talking to you today is, you know, we keep hearing people say that, you know, maybe if we just show how bad these assault, especially the assault weapons, the AR-15 seems to be the weapon of choice for mass shooters. If we just showed how bad these wounds were, and how destructive these bullets are, and how destructive these weapons are, and how they destroy humanity, that maybe we would come to our senses.
Any thought that maybe by showing these horrific images that it would change us, or do you think it would just make us turn away and completely ignore it or desensitize us even?
That's a great question, Rick. And actually, one of a fellow physician friend of mine, her name is Dr. Heather Scher. She wrote an article in the Atlantic about the Parkland shooting victim and how the AR-15 bullets look like basically when they impacted the body and damaged internal organs, they looked like overripe melons that exploded. And she kind of went through her thought processes as a radiologist, how shocked she was to go through that because she had never encountered something like that in quite some time. And it kind of opened the eyes to the American public about, you know, what it does look like to a radiologist, at least, you know, what happens when a high velocity weapon like an AR-15 just rips through the human body. And it captured the public's attention for a while. But, you know, I think the problem with these mass shootings is after the attention fades away, it's like we forget about it. And then we wait till the next mass shooting, and then there's another outrage cycle, and then we forget about it. I think the problem is we can't forget about it. We have to keep on, clamoring for change until the actual change happens. The Republicans just ride out the outrage until, you know, the news cycle dies down.
I mean, and I got to be honest, I woke up this morning and I saw this happening, and I'm going, well, here come the thoughts and prayers, people. You can say, you know, our thoughts are with them and we feel horrible for them. But, you know, if that as a politician in this country, if you're throwing out the thoughts and prayers angle, you're the problem.
Right. Because obviously we've seen, you know, it's almost become a meme online. You know, thoughts and prayers are nothing. We've seen they literally don't do anything. We need policy and change, not thoughts and prayers. But, you know, I think I'm pretty sure you saw Ted Cruz offering his thoughts and prayers, you know, this morning after the shooting when he accepts $80,000 from the NRA and is rated as an A-plus member and is doing nothing. In fact, the lieutenant governor of Texas mentioned that we should, change the system of entrances and doors.
Like, yeah, there are too many doors.
Fight doors instead of fighting guns. And that's how ridiculous, you know, things are getting. They're trying to grasp at any straws to distract the public from the fact that gun violence is a problem of guns.
No, but Dr. Goode, no, guns don't kill people. Come on. Guns don't kill people. People do. Say it with me. Guns don't kill people. People do. Because that's how we've been trained. I mean, you're the doctor. You can probably tell me much better than I can think of it. We've really been trained, you know, by osmosis, if you will, to believe that's the line. It's been pounded into us. It's been hammered into our brains. It's in everything we see, hear, and read. They're good at bumper sticker messaging.
Right. They are very great at bumper sticker messaging. But also, as a physician, I'm, you know, trained to look at evidence-based medicine and look at the evidence. And if you look at the data, look at other industrialized nations that have, you know, people with mental illnesses, that have, you know, a lot of criminals there too. And we're the only country that has this gun violence problem and this school shooting problem. You know, it has everything to do with the lack of regulation of guns.
Yeah, and but see, Dr. Goode, those countries don't have freedom. I mean, that's the argument I get. You know, it's a sign of our freedom. It's my right. It's my right to have this gun. It's my freedom. It's my liberty. And you're infringing on my rights.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, I think the Second Amendment, you know, I support the Second Amendment. I think, you know, we have to support every amendment in the Constitution. But you can still have, you know, common sense gun regulation without abolishing, you know, your fundamental rights. You know,
like,
I don't think everybody needs to have an AR-15. You know, you don't need that for fighting tyranny or anything other than a mass shooting. And it just doesn't make any sense.
I'm all in favor of the Second Amendment. I think everyone should be in the militia.
Right.
I mean, isn't that what you go back and read the writings of the Federalist Papers and, you know, the writings of the time, There was never supposed to be a standing army. It was supposed to be we're all in the militia. Grab your pack, grab your gun, you know, when the whistle blows. In fact, one of the first things that Washington signed was a mandate that every male between the ages of 18 and 54 buy a gun, have a pack full of balls and powder and wadding and the stuff that a soldier would need and have it at the ready. It wasn't wasn't about every idiot wanting I'm going to go target shooting with an AK-47 or an AR-15. That was never what it was meant for.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And what we end up with is we end up with a society of children who are scared to death because they've been living under this culture of who knows when the next person's going to go to their grandfather's arsenal and come and shoot the place up.
Right. And, you know, I grew up in a generation where we never even thought about school shootings. You know, we had earthquake drills, we had fire drills, you know, things like that. But I think this new generation of kids are growing up under the specter of gun violence, and it's horrifying. It's changing their whole educational experience. They're like the gun violence generation. I mean, I think that's horrible that we as a nation can, you know, raise our children under the fear like that. You know, I think things will change because this is just getting way too out of hand.
Do you think it really will change? I mean, because, you know, I said that after the last one, and I think now this is finally it, especially the Parkland, you know, moment. I thought, you know, now this is it. You know, the last several, I'm going, you know, maybe this is the last one. This is the one where finally, you know, some people are shaken awake. And look, I think we as voters, I think most of society is kind of moving towards, hey, we need background checks. We need to cut the gun show loophole. We need to get rid of these high capacity magazines, the bump stocks, you know, these weapons of war we need to be moving away from. It's just that our elected leaders are not. And I think you said it earlier so good. This is why November is so important.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, I do have some optimism that things will finally change. And I think the reason why is because, unlike, you know, Sandy Hook and Columbine, you know, social media has become such a much more powerful force in our society, and politically as well. And we also have, you know, the Parkland victims now speaking up and becoming powerful voices. So there's a lot of more powerful people coming up from like a grassroots effort, clamoring for change, demanding change. And their voices are only getting stronger every day. And so I do have optimism and hope that things will finally change. Of course, you know, the history of it doesn't bode well, but if we lose that hope that things can change and have a defeatist attitude, then things definitely won't change.
So, no, you're right.
You know, we have to at least keep trying.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I woke up today to see, the president's response. His initial response was school shooting in Texas, early reports not looking good. God bless all. And I'm going, you know, not looking good. That's the best you can come up with.
It was completely tone deaf. I thought many of his tweets, you know, are just, it's like he doesn't even have any thought to them, doesn't, you know, consider the implications of what they mean. And it just comes off as just callous. I think that's the one word I would say is callousness, you know, like not looking good. You know, children are dead and other children are critically injured going to the hospital at UTMB. You know, fighting for their lives, and all he's going to say is not looking good. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you've got Mike Pence calling it an incident. It's not even upgraded to a tragedy in his mind. It's just another incident. And this is the reason I bring this up is, you know, there's part of me that goes the language that they use, and you brought up the lieutenant governor there in Texas with it's the entrances. It's not the guns. In fact, he didn't even mention guns in the whole speech, or in this whole interview. You know, how much of this stuff comes from the top, that, you know, this is now, you know, the leadership that the opinions and the kind of the hatred that permeates from these people. How much of it is that kind of trickle down effect?
I think, you know, the majority of it is a trickle down effect. You know, the president of the United States uses his pulpit, you know, to kind of inspire the nation, and he's using it to almost de-inspire everybody to just, you know, he always lashes out at quote-unquote fake news, but he's almost like the king of fake news. You know, like, he's the master of propaganda, and his current propaganda is, you know, that just the guns aren't, you know, a problem, and so everyone else is kind of following his lead, and that's just horrible.
No, I mean it's angering. It's frustrating, and I share your optimism, and I hope more people do on these days. But I hope that optimism springs into action, and we take to the streets, we take to the voting booth, and we change things.
Right. Same here. I had definitely in November, you know, in particular, you know, Beto O'Rourke is running against Ted Cruz, and I hope he wins, especially after this. What might cause an incident?
Yeah, I mean, it's
actually, you know, a massacre.
It's insane to me. But Dr. Gu, I appreciate your time. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and some of your experiences.
Thank you so much, Rick, for being having me on the show.
Good stuff. Love to have you back again and talk about what we were supposed to talk about before this tragedy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
Good stuff. I mean, you know, look, you know, we've been talking about this for a while, and you know, you heard him. I mean, just what this does to the human body is horrible stuff. I'm gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy.